Hey, it's Larry Goins. Welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students. How is everybody doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Excellent, excellent. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Glad you made it. It's right at 9 o'clock, just I got a minute after, so let's go ahead and jump in. If it's your first time on here, sometimes people speak up. Sometimes people just want to listen. There's no lesson plan. It's basically Q&A, whatever kind of question you have about the market, a deal, what I'm doing, what you need to do, help on a property, whatever it is you need. I am here to answer your questions. So let's just go ahead and jump right in. Anybody have a question?
I do, Larry.
Great.
This is Julie.
Hey, Julie.
And everyone, when I put information into the Ultimate Property Analyzer, and then it spits out the maximum offer that you can make.
Uh-huh.
Well, for argument's sake, we'll just say it's $45,000, okay? How much lower should you go in making your initial offer on the property? Is there an automatic, you know, minus 10,000, or is it a percentage, or how are you guys coming up with your initial offer? Because I feel like I'm making offers that are too high, but I'm still going at about or lower than that number.
So you're saying, like, if the max offer is 40,000, how much lower than that should you start out with?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Well, I think it depends on a couple of things. If you're talking to the seller or the realtor, you kind of get a good feel as to whether you could start way low or whether you need to go ahead and get up close to that based on how you feel like their response might be. And that's just something that you will only pick up if you're either talking to the seller or the realtor. You would not know if you're just sending blind offers based on what it's listed for and doing some research, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I know I'm not really giving you a number, but let's just say the property was listed for $60,000 and you need to offer $40,000. Well, if you know they said, you know, hey, listen, I've got a lot of interest in this property, and, you know, the seller's not really that flexible, you know, or they're not going to – don't be making any lowball offers, or – you know, it's things like that, I would get close to 40. But if they're like, you know, well, it's been on the market for, you know, 92 days and we just lowered it again, and, you know, they want to go ahead and see an offer, you know, they want to go ahead and get it off the books, you know, I might start it out in, you know, 28 to 32, something like that.
Okay. So basically, you're just trying to ask questions to gauge how motivated the seller is.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out really bad. Could you say that again?
So basically, it's just asking questions to determine how motivated is the seller.
Yes, absolutely. You know, have you had many offers? You know, one of the things that I like to say, and you'll really like this, is one of the things I like to say is, you know you work for the seller. I know that you have a fiduciary responsibility to them. However, we both know that nobody gets paid until the deal gets closed. I would not ask you to violate that fiduciary responsibility whatsoever. However, you and I both know nobody makes any money unless we have a closing. So let me ask you this question. What do you think it's going to take to buy this house?
Okay.
You like that? How'd you like that?
I do.
Yeah. Cool. Did that help you, Julie?
Yeah, it did. But still, like, if the Ultimate Property Analyzer spits out, you know, 40,000, even if you have to start the offer at, say, 38, you do not go over 40 no matter what, right?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Keep me up to date. Let me know how that deal goes, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, I do have a question. This is Leoncio.
What's going on?
Hey, Larry. Hey, sir, I live in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's the name of the county is Davidson County, and I'm starting to look at HUD homes, and I prefer to choose this one of the surrounding counties. One of it is Williamson County, which is a very wealthy, high growth county. But there's other counties near it that probably will be easier for HUD homes. Do you happen to know this market somewhat at the moment, or what would be the parameters that you would use to go in for HUD homes, Larry?
Well, I don't really need to know your market. All I really need to know two things. Well, really three things. What's the approximate amount of repairs? What's the approximate after repaired value, and what's the approximate rent? And then I can put a number on a house and make a bid on a HUD house. It takes our guys an average of about 10 minutes, you know, sometimes longer, to analyze a deal, to put a number on it. Once they put a number on it, they put it on the spreadsheet, and we have another VA that submits the bid.
Wow. Larry, when you submit the when you submit that bid through a VA, I guess you have to have a real estate HUD number, and that VA you had to ask permission for a realtor to use that number, correct?
Well, the VA is really the realtor's assistant.
I understand. Okay.
Any realtor can have an assistant that works for them.
Yes.
The only difference is I pay for their assistant.
Okay.
Cool. I hope that helped.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry. There
you
go. On my HUD offers, I've got about a dozen out there, and they're all in counters.
They're all in what?
All in a counter status.
Okay.
Counter offer. And it keeps coming up with a 2-day notice that we have to match their minimum. Now, with my coaching that we've been told to do it an offer every day on it, you don't make an offer during that 2-day period, do you? You're just wasting an offer, aren't you?
Are you saying if you wait that 2-day period, I'm not sure I follow you.
That's my question. Do I wait that 2-day period before I make my next offer if I'm not going to accept their counter?
Well, no, if you're not going to accept their counter, you could go ahead and submit another bid.
Okay.
Of course, if it's in a counter situation and they're giving you 2 days, they may have pulled it off of HUDHomestore.com during those 2 days, and nobody can submit a bid on it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, because we have seen some disappear and then reappear.
I'm sorry?
On HUD Homestore.
Yeah, sometimes they pull them off of HUD's Homestore when they're doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, so nobody can bid on them.
Okay.
And then when that happens, you can either counter or submit another bid or do nothing.
Okay. But I shouldn't leave it in a backup position. Always keep it as a single offer.
Well, you always want to leave it in a backup situation anyway, but that we still submit bid after bid after bid anyway.
Okay. All right. Okay, appreciate it.
Cool. No problem. I hope that helped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, on the spreadsheets, when we download the information that we got from the Inner Circle, you know, that spreadsheet? Does and then say it goes in the contract, and but then for some reason it doesn't close and it comes back up. You know, I was listening to the one phone call, and do you get automatically notified through the spreadsheet that happens, or you just have to be aware that, oh, that one was gone and now it's back on there?
Well, you can update your spreadsheet. You're going to update your spreadsheet. If you get a counter or if you get a an offer accepted, you can update your spreadsheet to reflect that they've accepted your bid or whatever the status is. You can just update your spreadsheet, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, what if someone else got the bid, I'm saying, and it's gone, you know, and then it comes back because they didn't follow through with a sale? And then would we notice it just because we recognize that property again?
Yeah, a couple of things.
Is there a way to compare the numbers or something?
Every day we download the new HUD spreadsheet from HUDHomeStore.com and then merge that with the existing one, and you got a different tab on there. So you can go back and look and see. And you can also tell if you've submitted a bid and you have notes on it, it's already going to be on the spreadsheet.
Oh, okay.
It's already going to be on there, like your previous max offer, your previous bid, you know, everything where you did your due diligence, you ran rent comps, you put in the ARV, you put in the amount of repairs, and you put in your max bid.
Right.
When it comes back out, you know, you're going to see it on your spreadsheet again. Because it's already there.
What, line up it with itself because of the case number or something with the old one, or does it just refresh the whole sheet? You don't have all the different sheets?
You know, I wish I knew the answer to that, but I don't know the answer to that. I think when you merge it, it dedupes the fields or merges and maps the fields. When you use the spreadsheet that come with your Inner Circle, and then you export it.
Okay, that's something I haven't tried yet, so I got to work on that.
I'm not much of a spreadsheet guy. I know we got a guy in the Philippines that he does it all. A $3 an hour guy, and he just merges it all.
Okay.
Yeah, but he just takes that spreadsheet that you have and then exports the HUD spreadsheet every day and just merges them.
Okay. Export and merge. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. If you have any problems, just call the office and I'll put you in touch with the guy in our office that'll get you set up, okay?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks.
I wish I knew the answer to that, but I got people.
I'll be getting some people.
There you go. That's all you need is some people.
Yep.
Cool. Anybody else have a question? Nobody has a question? What?
It's going to be an early session.
Hey, Larry, can I just jump in, just take advantage of it?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. I'm incredibly new. I'm a newbie at starting on the HUD homes. I just want to, how many hours do you look at how many offers you put or bids you make in getting the results you want? I mean, I understand. I mean, I can give it 3 hours, but just do very little work. Is there a specific number that you would encourage people, you know, and I know you're starting very.
5 to 10 offers a week. You ought to be able to get some good deals.
Okay.
Because I can tell you, we have two VAs analyzing deals, and they're analyzing deals right now for 5 states. So if you're working 1 state, you're in good shape. And these are two VAs, and they're working anywhere from 5 to 7 hours a day.
6 to 7 hours.
Okay.
And then we have another VA, and she is submitting all the bids for five states, and she is working about three, maybe sometimes 4 hours a day. So you should be in good shape working if you're just working one state. But we're in the Carolinas, Virginia, Alabama, and Tennessee right now.
And when you're bidding on HUD, it's by county, correct?
On HUD, it's by county. No, on HUD, it's by case number.
Okay.
I don't care what county the property's in. That's irrelevant to me. I only care about the ARV and the amount of repairs and what the bid is. I don't care where the house is located. It's irrelevant to me.
Now you know what the amount of repairs is if you haven't seen it.
I'm sorry? I didn't catch that.
Can you?
Okay, so 5 to 10 offers a week will give you. Okay.
5 to 10 offers a day.
A day.
5 to 10 hours a week.
Okay.
But 5 to 10 offers a day.
A day.
You should be doing.
Okay.
Especially on the HUD stuff. The other stuff might take you a little bit more time, but the HUD is fairly simple.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Yes, and once the bid is accepted, that's where you kick in all the other information that you have shared with us as far as just
selling,
put on the market. Okay.
Exactly.
Is buying through HUD just the way you pay for a HUD home is just. It's just any other way, right? You find I guess you have to buy it, right? And then you can then I guess as an investor, you have to be the one that pays for it, and then that's when you can sell it almost at the same day.
You have to be the one that pays for what?
For the home, for the bid that you won.
I'm not sure I follow your question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess the when you win the bid in a HUD home through a realtor, of course, you're the one responsible to find the financing to make sure that deal.
Oh yeah, it's always a cash offer for HUD if you're an investor.
Cash offer.
Yeah, they don't let you put in any financing contingencies or anything like that.
Okay, always cash offer. Okay.
It's always a cash offer to them. Now, you can use private money. You can use hard money. You can use transaction funding. You can use cash partners, credit cards.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Is that where – do they require you to have that letter of showing that you have money?
Yes.
I think maybe you do have to have a proof of funds. I don't know.
You do.
Normally, your realtor is going to require that, though, that you're working with.
Okay.
Normally, your realtor would.
Okay. Thank you. So 5 to 10 offers a day, and that if you do 5 hours, okay.
5 to 10 offers a day. You should be getting a deal very soon if you're able to do at least that many.
Okay.
And that's not going to take you very long to do.
Yeah. Okay. This might be kind of like not the best question because it's more of a personal question. But my wife and I would like for her to at least know what I'm doing and how it works, so in case she has an hour, 2 hours a week that she can help. And I know the inner circle training that we have here in May, that it was offered, as I remember, to another person that you could bring. Would that be kind of like a no-brainer to really have someone that may help you work with to go through this week, or would it be just as good for us to just share whatever we learned from the training?
I think that would be entirely up to you, because only you know your situation, and you know if she's really going to be working in the business with you.
Yes, sir. Yes. Totally understand.
But that's a choice you can make. If you want to bring her, that's fine. You just need to let us know.
Absolutely. I will let you know.
Excellent. That sounds good. I hope that helped.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Cool. Absolutely. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, this is Sheila High, and also I'm working on an LLC is that the correct way to bid on the property, like with her?
You're working on your LLC?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Yes, setting them up.
You submit your bid and use
your
LLC name.
Are you guys on speakerphone?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can barely hear you. Try it again. Can you ask your question again? Because I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Okay, I'm in the process of...
Wow, that's much better. Thank you, you did.
Working on my proof of funds letter and then the LLCs to submit the properties.
Uh-huh.
So is that proper to do or...
Yeah,
with the LLC?
You need to get an LLC set up, and you can either do it yourself or have somebody do it for you. And you need to find someone that can give you a proof of funds letter so you can submit offers on bank-owned properties. Individuals don't really care, but realtors do. So, yeah, those are definitely two things that you need to get lined up.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was working on earlier today.
Good. That's great. Yeah, and who are you having set up your LLC?
Well, I've done some in the past, and also with my husband, he set up a lot.
Oh, okay, good. So you guys are good to go with that.
Yes.
Great. That sounds good. Well, if you need any help or anything, let me know. There's a lot of places out there you can get operating agreements, too. So you'll need one of those and need to buy some corporate books.
Corporate books, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you just Google the term, Google the keywords corporate books kit or corporate kit, there is one called Corp Kit, and they'll sell you a set of corporate books that has everything in it.
Okay.
Yeah, but you got to have that as well. Good. I hope that helps.
What is that needed for?
Well, that's to operate your corporation or your LLC. It's going to have membership shares in it. It's going to be where you put your operating agreement, your articles of organization, any tax papers you get, like where you get approval from the IRS for an S election for tax purposes. You know, all that stuff will go in your corporate books. And that helps to keep the corporate shield up so nobody can break that corporate veil and come after you personally, because that just helps prove that it really is a separate entity from you individually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've done the operating agreements. I didn't know if that was different in the articles and all that too.
Yeah, but you also need a set of corporate books.
Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah. Make sure you get that. Just Google the term corporate kit, and you'll find one. There's a bunch of them out there that sell them.
Okay.
Good. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Larry, I'll ask another question here.
Okay.
I have some friends that are developers and are looking for, you know, obviously for low-priced homes for them to rehab or just start, I mean, if it's really bad, just tear down and build something new.
Right.
And they, I guess one of them mentioned, you know, just the finder's fee. Like if I help them find some, obviously some cheap homes and they can just, they will just give me some money and then they'll close the deal and everything. Is that legal? I mean, is that part of something that, do you have to have a real estate license, I guess, to do stuff like that?
To get a bird dog fee, basically?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Okay. I will tell you this. Every state is different. Some states
okay.
have specific laws against that. Okay?
Okay.
When you run across a state that does have specific laws against that, then what you have to do is the person has to pay you per lead, not per closing. Because there's nothing wrong with buying leads from someone. You could sell leads. But
okay.
What state are you in?
Tennessee.
Okay. I'm not exactly sure about Tennessee. I thought it might be a state I was familiar with. But you could just Google Tennessee bird dogging laws and see what comes
okay.
up. And you should be able to find some good answers about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good. Did that help?
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Good, good.
Thank
You're
you.
Very welcome.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else have a question?
Would developers mind either way? I guess they don't really mind if they pay you per lead or per or if it's dog.
Well, quite frankly, they're probably going to want to pay you only when something closes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you what the law could be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now,
you.
It's different if you're licensed. If you're licensed, they could pay you a fee.
Okay.
But
if
you're
if
not
I,
licensed.
If I used to have. Yes, sir. Excuse
if
me.
You're not
go
licensed,
ahead.
Then there's laws against that. Or maybe
right.
I shouldn't say laws. There's regulations from the Real Estate Commission against that. It's not really
okay.
a law, but it's a regulation from the Real Estate Commission. Could be. I don't know if there is or not, but it could be.
If I was licensed, but my license is not active, it's as if I didn't have that license.
You would probably need to activate that license to be able to earn a commission or a bird dog fee if there are laws against that.
Okay.
See, a lot of real estate commissions in different states consider that operating as an agent without a license.
Okay.
When you bird dog, if they have rules against that or regulation against that.
And when,
but I'm not sure about
you
Tennessee. Say, you could just Google it.
Yes, sir. So
cool.
When you decide either it's going to be a bird dog fee or a pay per lead. See, is that just in the agreement with that developer? Do you write a contract, and that's how you can?
You could write up an independent contractor's agreement for that, and just spell
okay.
everything out. You absolutely
okay.
could.
What would you recommend?
I'm not sure what that question means. What do you mean? What I recommend?
Way, if it's a bird dog fee or a pay per lead fee. And
well, if you can and your state allows it, you would much rather do a deal where you get paid when the deal closes because you will get more money.
Okay.
Otherwise, they're going to probably, you know, when I've paid for leads in the
okay.
past, I've paid
okay.
$10 to $20 per lead.
Okay.
So it's not a lot of money. It can add
okay.
up, but I would rather pay or get paid more money for an actual deal that closed and I made some money on.
How would you write an agreement or a contract on that, Larry?
Just look up independent contractor's agreement and you'll find
okay.
a lot of them out there and then you just customize it based
okay.
on what the job description is for each person.
Awesome. This is very valuable information. Thank you so much.
Good. Excellent. Glad I could help. Who else has a question? Anybody got a deal you're working on you need help with? You guys have had some good questions tonight. Anybody else want to jump in?
Hey, Larry, can I just ask you maybe my last question here?
Sure.
To get ready for the Inner Circle training in May, anything
uh-huh.
that you would recommend? I mean, I like I just mentioned here, I'm really just starting just to make time for this great opportunity.
Yeah, what trainings of mine do you have?
I went in January.
Uh-huh.
I went to your 3-day training in
okay, good.
Charlotte.
Good, good.
And
do you have my home study courses or books?
I have the Field to Riches, and I've listened to pretty much everything there. Just maybe some one or two things I have not
okay,
listened.
Good, good, good. I think you're good. I was going to say go through the Filthy Riches again. But
okay.
But yeah, when you get there, we're going to show you our whole system. We're just going to lay everything out and show you what we do and how we do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Really
cool.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a blast. And my wife cooks all the meals. And my wife is an awesome cook. I tell her all the time, her name is Pam, and I tell her
yes.
There's three kinds of food. There's store-bought, there's homemade,
yes.
and there's Pam-made.
Yes. Oh,
and Pam-made
okay.
is the best. But anyway. So anybody have a question?
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
It's Aaron again.
Hey.
Question. You said you're going into Tennessee now?
We are going into Tennessee.
If I've got somebody who's looking in there, is there some way that we can get together on something?
What do you mean somebody that's looking there?
I've got a cash buyer who's looking in Tennessee.
Well, let me tell you my model, okay? The short answer is going to be probably not, and I'll tell
okay.
you why.
Okay.
Because, guys, I've got a lot of overhead. I've got a lot of people and
mm-hmm.
a lot of mouths to feed in our business. So we need
okay.
to try to make $12,000 to $15,000 on a deal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we make offers on every house in the entire state that's listed at HUDHomestore.com that is available to investors. Well,
okay.
based on the amount of money we got to make because the amount of profit we got to make, I'm probably only going to get one or two or three per state per month, okay?
Okay.
So having said that, the chances of you having a buyer in the particular area where they might accept a bid, I mean, it could be 3 hours away and still be in Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
No, that makes
and
sense.
We actually just started bidding last week in Tennessee, and we haven't gotten a deal yet. We just started bidding in Tennessee. So, you know, it might be 2, 3, 4 weeks before we get a deal. And we naturally,
okay.
when we first go into a market, we don't know the market, so we keep our bids a little lower than normal to start out, and then we work our way up a little bit. So, you know, there may be some way we can work together. I'm not sure. You'll just have to keep an eye out on our website to see, you know,
yeah.
when we get a deal in Tennessee and if it's anywhere close to where you have a buyer. So
okay.
You could keep a check on that, but quite frankly, I don't want you to get your hopes up because chances are that, you know, if they accept a bid of ours, it's probably going to be a more rural area just because they tend to lower the prices on those faster, more often, and accept lower
uh-huh.
bids. And that's
okay.
okay because our bids are very low, and when we get a one accepted, we know it's a good deal.
Okay.
Good. Did that help?
Yep.
Great, great.
Larry, when you are searching HUDHomestore.com,
uh-huh.
You said that you look at the case number when you're looking at a state. And I'm sorry if I'm just repeating my same question, and I may not have understood your answer. Do you research, can you only research, your initial research is by county, but then you just look at the case number, or can you actually research the whole state from the very beginning?
Yeah, when you do a search at HUDHomestore.com, you can search the entire state, or you can narrow it down and select a county. You can narrow it down and select a city. You can select a zip code, or you can select a specific case number and only look up that one property. We simply search the entire state, and all HUD houses are identified by case number. They're not identified by the address, although they give you the address. When you submit a bid, you have to put in the case number and the bid amount. So they're identified by the case number. But you can search if you only want to buy stuff in one specific county, then you can do a search for that county, and it'll only pull up properties in that county. We simply search the whole state.
Makes sense.
That help?
And Larry, yes, sir, and I'm sorry I keep asking.
That's all right. That's why I'm here, man.
Thank you, sir. As a new beginner, I'm thinking of focusing on a nearby county so I can go and check out the property if it's getting close to bid. Do you go, I'm assuming that you don't go check out these properties, right? This is not like what you do at the Filthy Riches that at least somebody
No, we don't go look at the property. It doesn't mean we might not have somebody go look at it. We're going to have somebody put out signs in the neighborhood to sell the property. We could get an inspector.
Yeah.
We could get a contractor. We could get a realtor to go out and look at it.
Okay.
But we're personally not going to go out and look at it at all.
Before you buy it or right after you buy, when you're not going to go see it, but somebody may on your behalf after you get it or even just before it.
Well, as soon as they accept the bid.
As soon as they accept the bid.
As soon as they accept the bid, we're going to start doing our due diligence.
Okay. Before the contract is signed and everything, of course. As soon as they
Well, of course, we're going to look at it and determine, well, let's look at it and see, do we really want to get this property? Let's dig a little bit deeper. If the answer is yes, then we'll go ahead and get the contract signed and send in the deposit, and we'll start our due diligence right away as well as start our marketing.
Okay. That's awesome.
Good.
Okay.
Good. I'm glad that helped.
Thank you.
Hi, Larry. This is Maxine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit, but what did you say your name was?
Maxine.
Oh, okay. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
I have a couple of questions. Okay, I don't have my business set up as an LLC or anything. I just have my business, my website, and, you know, my domain name and everything. Now, can I start wholesaling without having it set up like as an LLC or anything like that?
Well, yes, you can. You can get an assignment fee or wholesale and buy and sell in your own personal name. The reason you have an LLC is to protect yourself from liability purposes. Because if someone sues you, if you did a deal personally and the deal falls south, goes south, and then they sue you, if they get a judgment against you, you know, that could attach your car, your house that you own personally, anything else. But if you're buying and selling through an LLC and they were to sue the LLC, the LLC doesn't really own anything. It just wholesales houses. But they're going to sue the LLC.
Okay.
So it's for liability. It's for asset protection purposes.
Okay. Also, I have my website for you all. Now, you have a section where you list your properties. So I have to go out and buy all these properties first and then list them on the site, or have to buy several properties and list them on the site as I buy them, or for sellers,
You can list any properties you get under contract on your site, but
okay.
You could also use any of our properties if you wanted to. We have some people that have our website, and we tell them you can put some of our properties on there if you want.
Okay.
Just to make it look like you got something going on until you
Right. Okay. Yeah. That I'll have to do.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had a lot of good questions tonight. That's good stuff. Anybody else have anything?
Larry, I'm going to jump in again.
Sure.
Having an LLC is it very different than having a self-direct IRA? I mean, or is the self-direct IRA part of the LLC? I'm so sorry that I'm asking this question, and I know you.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Those are two totally separate things. Self-directed retirement account is just an account that you would have either an IRA, whether it be a Roth or traditional or 401k, or it could be an ESA, education savings account, or an HSA, a health savings account. And the self-directed part means it's with a custodian that will allow you to buy real estate. Having an LLC is just having an entity that is separate from you personally or separate from your IRA that you're going to buy and sell houses in or buy and hold houses in, and that way it gives you some asset protection in the event somebody was to sue you or if you had rental property in the event somebody was to get hurt on your property.
Okay.
So it's two totally separate things.
So thank you. Thanks so much. So the money that you would make through your company, you may decide to put in your self-directed IRA as just way to save.
That's right. You can fund an IRA or a 401k with some of the money that you make in your LLC, and then you would be able to buy properties or wholesale properties in your retirement account in addition to doing that in your LLC.
In addition to doing that through your LLC. Okay. But at the end of the day, I mean, LLC is your corporate protection.
That's right. That's what you're doing your business in is your LLC.
Okay.
LLC. But you'll also have, you know, a retirement account where you can, you know, like maybe you only have $5,000 in there. But if you have $5,000 in there, you could do a couple of wholesale deals, you know, and turn that 5 into 10 and that 10 into 20 and 20 into 30, you know, and then eventually you can loan out money or be a hard money lender or sell or finance some filthy riches deals or whatever. But you can do a few deals in your retirement account in addition to doing them in your LLC.
Okay. How many properties would you recommend having in your LLC? And this may be a lawyer question, but how many properties would you typically see people having once you create another LLC? Or do you just have one LLC?
Well, here's the thing. You need one entity for your business and another entity for your investments. Do not buy and sell houses in the same entity that you buy and hold houses in. Okay?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you have rental property, you have those in one LLC, and then if you're wholesaling properties, you do that in a different LLC. Okay?
Huh. Okay. Say that again. If you have rentals, you have in one LLC, if you buy and wholesale, you would do that through another LLC?
Well, maybe I wasn't clear.
Sorry.
You want to have one LLC for your business of real estate. A business is buying and selling, whether it's wholesaling or fix and flips or whatever. And then you want to have another entity for your investment real estate. That's properties that you're buying and you're not selling.
Okay.
you're buying and holding.
And when you say, entity, do you mean LLC?
An LLC is a type of entity, yes. Just like a C corp, an S corp, an LLC,
okay.
They're all types of entities.
Okay. Okay.
That help?
Yes, it does. Thank
good,
you.
Good. 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 Glad. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? Well, guys, you guys have had some really good questions tonight. I really appreciate all that. I hope I was really able to help you, and I hope you guys got a lot out of it. Please remember that if you ever have any questions between now and the other call that we have, these biweekly, all you got to do is shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com. and put inner circle in the subject line, and I'll answer it as soon as I see it, okay? I get many of them every day, and I answer them just as soon as I can. I usually within a few minutes, sometimes within a few hours, but normally, you know, within the hour, I will answer it for you. So I really, really appreciate all your business, and I appreciate your confidence in us, and let us know if there's anything at all that we can do to help you, because we're here for you. And I look forward to hearing your success stories. So with that, thanks a lot, guys, for being on. And hit me up if you need any help with anything between now and the next call. Okay, guys?
All right, sure. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate your
thanks,
business.
Sir.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Thanks
Bye.
So much. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.